B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
All right, welcome to Nerd Radio this week, wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, on the B-Pod Studios Network, it is... What are you laughing about?
We're starting the show. There is actually like 20 minutes of audio of you and I just talking about bollocks.
Yeah, no, totally.
Sorry, it's taking so long.
No, not at all. We were having a conversation. I was fine.
And I'm running out of stuff to put at the end of the show, so I figured I would just hit record and we could shoot the show and find out what it is. Oh, see, DMX is already here.
DMX is already here, yeah. You got all relaxed because we've been sitting here just talking candidly for the last, you know, however long.
I was dropping F-bombs earlier. I was like, I don't think he's going to use this. F my MacBook.
I've tried that before, James, and it doesn't always work. Like, oh, if I swear, he'll never use it.
No.
And it's incriminating.
I'll just do the extra work. Call in DMX.
Yeah.
Hey, so man, okay, so I got a couple of things to hit for you. I didn't even put them in the sheet.
Well, I came prepared, and
I was like, I'm gonna remember
DMX
this stuff.
Yourself.
Put your pleasure pad away, Al. We don't need to look at that.
So the Oscars was this Sunday.
Sure was.
And it's a big deal for nerds because Black Panther winning a whole bunch of awards.
I didn't even see any of this.
One for Best Achievement in Music, Best Achievement in Costume Design, Best Achievement in Production Design. But the important thing is it was nominated for Best Motion Picture. It is, to my knowledge, the first superhero movie ever nominated in the Best Motion Picture category.
Yeah, it's like the first superhero movie to get a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is super,
oh my God.
Yeah, I wish I liked the movie more.
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing. I'm like, oh man, why can't it be one of the ones that I love?
Yeah.
That was my thoughts too.
A good movie.
Yeah. It's a great comic book movie, but it's not one of my favorites I was never a big Black Panther fan. He was just a mediocre character. He's got some cool stuff.
Yeah. It's like we were kind of saying, I think just last week on the show, like he's a character that I'm fine when he shows up, but I would never go out of my way to read a Black Panther comic or anything like that. But
I forgot about last week. I was on vacation and I'll be honest, I was a little under the influence when I got here. So
who's surprised?
I had a wake and bake. I was on vacation, guys.
Hey, that's all good. Hey,
nothing wrong with that.
Well, the thing that I was super excited about is my Spider-Man movie won Best Animated Feature.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
And now the Oscar's stamp of approval. When I say that's the best Spider-Man movie there's ever been, now there's the Oscar's stamp of approval thing.
Has anyone won
the facts to back it up?
Aside from Pixar for the last like 20 years?
I don't think so, man. They were up against Incredibles this year.
But I feel like what else would be up and winning? I mean, I don't really pay attention to the Oscars.
I'm glad you asked.
Hey, look at me.
I pulled up the IMDb. I just did a Google search. What superhero movies, what comic book movies have been to the Oscars? So let's go back through history real briefly here and see what
comic book movies. Should we cue the TARDIS sound effect here?
Sure.
I guess TARDIS works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Infinity War was nominated for Best Special Effects. Didn't win. A lot of these were nominated but didn't win. Black Panther was nominated for a whole bunch of stuff, like best sound editing, best sound mixing, you know, all the best music written. Going back, Guardians of the Galaxy was nominated for best special effects back in 2017. Logan, best adapted screenplay.
Oh, okay.
The year before that was Doctor Strange was nominated for best special effects, which is appropriate. There's a lot of crazy special effects in that movie. Suicide Squad won for best makeup and hairstyling.
Okay.
In 2016.
All right. Thank you, Harley Quinn.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I'm seeing nothing but MCU movies so far.
There's a lot of them. Big Hero 6, which I don't think that was Pixar. It was Disney.
Disney. I don't know if it was Pixar.
Yeah, they got best animated feature in 2014. Guardians of the Galaxy was nominated for best achievement in makeup and hairstyling, which Suicide Squad obviously won a year or two later. And visual effects. Days of Future Past was nominated for visual effects.
More than we thought, really.
Winter Soldier was nominated for visual effects. Iron Man. So it looks like visual effects was where they pigeonholed the superhero movies for quite a few years. Because Iron Man 3...
Anything outside of the MCU, or did that kind of start back before Iron Man?
Yeah, we're looking at Avengers, Iron Man 2. Dark Knight actually won Best Performance. Okay. By Heath Ledger and Best Achievement Sound Editing.
I didn't even think about that. How could I have forgotten that?
And they had a whole bunch of nominations for like visual effects and sound mixing and all that stuff.
How could I have not thought of that?
All Hellboy 2? There you go. It was nominated for Makeup Achievement.
I've ever seen
it. Wow.
Yeah?
I've seen the first one. I remember nothing about it, but I haven't even seen the second one.
Iron Man gets a visual effects nomination. Superman Returns, visual effects. Batman Begins.
Really? Superman Returns?
Yeah. Batman Begins got a cinematography nomination.
Okay.
Incredibles, going back to Pixar, winning Best Animated Feature back in 2004. Spider-Man 2, Best Visual Effects winner.
Huh.
Lots of visual effects, lots of makeup.
Yeah. No, that's it. Like enough. I said, that's where they seem to have, hey, how about The Mask of Zorro back in 1998?
Is that Antonio Banderas?
It was. He's nominated for Best Sound.
And Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, that's right. Sir Anthony Hopkins.
That's right. He is a sir.
He is. He is a knight.
Men in Black
won. Anthony Hopkins is a knight.
Yes.
Men in Black won Best Makeup back in 97. Batman Forever, nominated for Best Cinematography.
Okay, let's stop the list right there. I'm done.
No, that happened. That was at the Oscars.
No, I'm done with this conversation. Batman Forever?
Right.
It's got fuck yourself.
Oh, no. Welcome back, DMX.
This is a DMX heavy show already.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's the one with Jim Carrey.
Either of them.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm aware of it.
How about The Mask? 1994, nominated for Best Effects, Visual Effects. Batman Returns.
Okay, now we're cooking.
Now we're back on to the original Batman, Best Art Direction. That's pretty on point. 1978, Superman won the Special Achievement Award for Visual Effects. Okay. I was like, Special Achievement Award? What? You guys literally made an award for, like, we have no place for a Superman movie in the Oscars, so we're just going to make a thing.
It was before the special effects, where it was an actual category. Like, we're going to give him a special achievement.
What do you think the very first...
gold star.
Yeah.
What do you think the very first comic book-related movie was to even show up at the Oscars? I ask Al because it's 1940.
Oh, boy.
A comic movie from the 40s.
Comic book-related movie from, say, the
comic
40s.
Comic book-related movie from the 40s. It's got to be like a Zorro or something like
Bam!
That.
Bam!
Yeah?
First guess, Marcus Zorro, best music, original score.
Good job.
Nice job. That wasn't even your guess. You were just spitting the first thing out. There you go.
Well, I didn't know. I will admit, I did not have the answer. It was like deductive reasoning.
Yeah.
It was an educated guess.
Right. I never even realized Zorro was a comic.
Yeah, well, it was probably, at the time, it was probably more of a comic strip. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, back when, like,
from
Flash
the
Gordon.
And stuff?
Yeah, okay. Exactly, Zorro.
Yeah.
I know my mom used to, like, love Zorro, but that's because she watched the old show.
Can you imagine if the comic book boom of today happened in, like, the 40s.
Oh, my God. People would be losing their minds.
They'd have, like, a Marmaduke trilogy.
Oh, you're talking, like, those kind of comics. Yeah.
I love the Marmaduke trilogy.
The Family Circle spinoffs. Stuff like that.
Family Circle got dark, you guys.
Yeah, the real hard stuff. Right, like, those exactly. Kids are doing drugs and stuff. And
Kathy's a bitch.
Yeah, what else was big back then?
I don't even know. Kathy was always a bitch.
Yeah, I know, that's true. I don't know. I'm just spitballing any comic strip I can think of at this point.
Anything that was, you know, an old newspaper comic.
Yeah. Garfield was still funny.
Oh, yeah, Garfield.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go Heathcliff.
Yeah.
I was going to say, man, that Heathcliff.
All of these are all, like, post-1940,
I'm sure they are.
It's just ones I used to read, so I don't know.
I can't wait for the second Schroeder movie. It's this Peanuts spinoff. It's going to be amazing. Yeah.
He's really mastered the piano.
Yeah, really, for sure.
He's the one that played the piano, right?
He is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I know, like, Charlie Brown, Pigpen.
Yep. Right.
Peppermint Patty.
His Lucy, little sister, Sally.
Sally, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess Franklin. I know more about the Peanuts than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see a couple years ago, they did a Peanuts, like, CGI animated
movie? I missed
movie.
It, no.
Oh, it's adorable.
Yeah. Is it?
Because it's literally, like, a bunch of short Peanuts stories.
Oh, really?
All smashed together in, like, this one. It's like an anthology, but it's really...
That seems a little more interesting. But the one way to not get me to go see a movie is by starting off with, it's adorable.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. There's no penises in the Peanuts movie. So.
There's no fart jokes. There's no poop. All the good stuff's gone. It's adorable.
It's adorable.
It's a term I use to only address my dog. And maybe like a friend's baby.
Have either of you, I think I know the answer to this question, but have either of you seen the second Detective Pikachu trailer that came out the last week or two?
No, because you know what? I saw like a little clip of it on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't really a movie, right? So I didn't watch it. I just saw like a CGI like Pikachu walking around looking all sad. And I'm like, I'm not even going to bother with this.
Yeah, well, it's Ryan Reynolds as the voice of Pikachu.
Yeah. I saw a trailer Well, I went to a movie. And yeah. That's the only time I saw it. Right. So I don't know which trailer it was, whether it was the first or second, but I, you know.
It looks like it will be.
The choice was removed from my hand. I'll put it that way.
Kind of hilariously stupid and funny. And definitely, but at the same time, have the warm-heartedness that somebody going to a Pokemon movie is looking for.
I have no connection or nostalgia or anything at all to Pokemon. So even if it was just on HBO one night, I'll pass. I will never end up watching it.
So you're not excited that Pokemon Day is this week?
No.
Or that they announced
Pokemon Day?
Yeah.
Didn't realize.
Wow. Or that they announced the next Pokemon game for the Switch will be Pokemon Shield and Sword. The two games, obviously, but like all the Pokemon games.
So they keep creating new Pokemon, is it always you're just trying to catch all the same old
Pokemon?
They're
well over 1,000 at this point.
Okay.
Every time they get a new generation of Pokemon, every like 3 years or something like that, there's a new 100-150 dudes to catch, and maybe they'll filter in some of the old dudes. But yeah, it's supposed to be more like the one they put on the Switch a couple months ago was like Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, and it was just a retelling of the first game. Like, it's essentially the first game, but instead of the battle system, when you catch guys, it's just like Pokemon Go. You just throw the ball and get them.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing. But this is an actual continuation of the Pokemon generations of games. They just announced it a day or two ago.
So do you like choose a gym that you you play for, or do you always assume like the role of a character like Ash?
You're always Ash. You always get like a starter Pokemon out of a fire, a water, and a grass Pokemon, and then you go to the 8 gyms and beat, you know, 8 gym leaders. That never changes. But some of the, like, the villains are always a different team of some sort. They're trying to do something different, take over the world.
Yeah, my experience with Pokemon, I think I played one of the first ones. If there was one on the regular Game Boy, not the one that was in color.
Yeah, like the very first one on the original Game Boy.
So I probably played that one. But I wasn't, I don't know. Like, I couldn't get into it.
That was the fun thing about the Switch game is having played the original on the Game Boy, you boot it up and you start remembering things. Like, oh yeah, it's this town and I'm going to go to this town and the first gym leader is this. And new kind of neat. So it's kind of part of the fun of that game is seeing how far your memory remembers into the first game. Cause it's been a couple decades since that game came out.
It's been a long time.
Well, me and Al were talking the other morning about we're finally digging into Red Dead Redemption.
How many times have we gone on the show and said that?
That's true.
I'm finally getting a chance to play Red Dead.
We're finally digging it because like I finished Persona 5 and I told myself I had to beat that before I could play Red Dead. And I had to play Red Dead before I could play any of the games that I bought since Red Dead.
Yeah, I didn't have any of those reasons. I just was antisocial and didn't feel like leaving the couch. Oh. So
what did you guys do? Like wash your horse or something?
Oh, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that because
saddlebags.
Every time I hear a dog bark, I have to find him and give him and pet him.
Oh, for
it's
for
a
real?
Dog.
That's funny.
I didn't know whether like what you could do with the dog or whatever. Like, I kind of wanted to like befriend the dog and have it be my companion. So, like the first time I realized that you could pet a dog, I spent way more time than I care to admit, like praising it and feeding it.
Who's a good boy? You're a good boy.
And then, like, when I disengaged with the dog, it's just like, all right, F off, and it ran away. I'm like, you son of a bitch!
Oh, man.
All that time I invested, and it was just gone.
You should have spent your time touching the horse.
Exactly. So now I don't. I just ignore the dogs because
I wanted
one to be my companion.
I can't remember if I told you guys this story last week or not, but I don't think so because I think it happened after we recorded. But I sat down to play Red Dead, and I'm like, okay, I'm officially going to try and do this. Mm-hmm. The first thing I do is I find there's this drunk priest that's part of your camp. And these dudes are swindling him in poker. And he's just falling out of his face drunk. So that's your first exposure to you can play poker.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. So I sat there and I played poker for, I don't know, like a half an hour or something like that, figuring out how it works. And my girlfriend, Amy, she's like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, all right, cool. So she goes to bed and I'm playing poker. And then she went to bed early because I had band practice. You know, it was Wednesday night or something like that. So I go to band practice and I come home and I'm not tired. So I sit down to play Red Dead Redemption again, and Al's laughing because he knows where the story is going.
No, I don't. No. So I'm laughing because James is breathing into the mic.
Sorry.
I sit down to play it again.
I don't wear headphones, so I don't hear all that.
I go back to
it. I figured you would want me to tell you.
Thank you.
They're like, oh, he's got the heavy breath.
I go back to camp, and you can play dominoes, and I haven't played dominoes yet. So, all right, cool. I'm going to play dominoes. And that's when Amy wakes up and comes out, and she's like, I know you've been playing cowboy games since I went to bed. Have you just been playing poker and dominoes the whole time?
You're like, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, on the last one, you know, I used to hook up online and play with my brother, right? And we'd clear the hideouts and whatever.
Right.
And every so often, he'd be like, you just want to go play poker?
Let's just go play poker.
Like, yeah, okay. So just he and I sitting in the saloon playing poker.
Playing poker. Right. So you just don't focus.
Yeah, he's in Vegas. I'm in Detroit. And we had a great time. Yeah,
are there like NPC players there? Or
no, it's just the two of us.
That's funny.
Just the two of us.
Because, I mean, you can have NPC players if you find a table where they're sitting. Yeah. You sit down and play.
Well, I think on the online, we used to go into a private mode. So it was just the two of us avoid the trolls.
I gotcha.
So it would just be the two, and we would sit there and play poker. Sometimes it was 10 minutes, sometimes it was 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Until my brother got bored and just went all in until he lost.
Yeah, no, that's how every one of those games ended.
It
doesn't take me 45 minutes to hit that. After about three hands, like I won a hand, and I'm like, all right, cool, and I lost the next two, and I'm just like, I'm just going to start all in betting.
Yeah.
Just to see if I can, you know, clear through this. I'm not good at gambling.
Yeah. But that's funny, yeah, because we used to do that too. But no, so you're digging it now because you were.
It's a weird game, man. Like the controls are not intuitive. I think that's the first problem with that game is that there are so many different things you can do with the 12 buttons on a PlayStation or Xbox controller that the controls are just not intuitive. And I think it takes an extremely long time for the game to teach you how to play it.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuances that. It is very similar to the first one, the controls and how you interact with them.
Right.
There are some differences, though, but there are some nuances that, like I said, I still haven't. They'll show you and go, oh, I need to remember that, and I always forget or whatever.
Yes. And that's what I mean by the game takes a long time to teach you how to play it. It needs to keep reminding you what controls you need to be doing to do a certain activity.
To me, one of the drawbacks of the game for me and how you, you know, the way you interact with other characters, and we've talked about this before, and we shared a story. You and I ran into a similar stranger on the road.
Yeah, the other morning we were talking about
it. The fact that you can, like, bump into another character or another horse and it basically topples you. It's like it's ultra sensitive to being in contact with other characters. And to me, that's like when, you know, when I would play a Madden game and it's like, now you've got the QB vision and you can, you know, it's like you're making it too realistic. I play video games because I can't do this stuff and I'm escaping reality.
Right.
Stop making it so ultra real. But this guy, I'm riding my horse to a town, run to this guy, and he's like, help, I'm lost. Can you help me? I go, yeah, okay, sure. I'll help you on the stranger mission. Because every so often you re-interact with those people and they're like, oh, hey, you're the guy who helped me. I got credit in the store. Go buy anything you want and I'll pay for it. And you can go in and get something great for free, like a gun or something.
Yeah.
So I always help him out. And then I said, I'll show you to the town. And I jump on my horse, hoping he's going to hop on the back or whatever. And he just starts walking beside me. So I'm like, all right, this is going to take a while. So I get off the horse and I lead it. And so we're walking along and this guy's yammering on about something, whatever. I'm sure I'll get something free out of him eventually. So I keep walking and I notice there's like a stagecoach behind us or whatever. So I actually pull off to the side of the road, let the stagecoach pass. And then as I go to start walking again, I bump into my companion. And he's like, never mind. I don't. And he runs off. I was like, you son of a bitch. I've been walking with you for 15 minutes and you run away. Where's my free stuff?
And that's when I would have ripped the system right out of the wall.
And then Chuck asked me, well, I tell Chuck this story, asked me the question, I can't believe it didn't occur to me. He goes, did you kill him?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I should have. Man. I should have turned around and put a bullet in his back.
Right.
I was so mad. I got off my horse and walked with this son of a bitch, and then he just like, I'm gone.
Like, on one hand, it's part of the fun when the game first came out to watch the AI run into each other kind of thing. Like, there's the lady that asked, I remember the video where this lady asks your character, is like, hey, can you help me? And then from off camera, this deer just runs into her and runs her over. It was hilarious. But at the same time, in a similar fashion, I was doing a mission with one of the guys that's part of your camp, and we're riding and come across he's riding to the left of me, and we come across a wagon that's coming the opposite direction. So I pull off to the right, thinking that he'll pull off to the left to let the wagon go. No, he runs straight into the wagon.
Yep.
Falls off his horse, gets up and kills the guy.
Yep.
Shoots the guy in the face.
Yep.
And gives us a wanted level. And I'm like, trying to keep a low profile here.
Yeah.
We're going to commit a crime in like 5 minutes. What are you doing?
I think I ran into a stagecoach and I got flown off my horse. The horse went head over tail, you know.
Right.
And it like flipped around on top of their horses. And I'm on top of the stagecoach. And then they pull a gun on me because I'm on their stagecoach.
Yeah.
Let's relax. All right.
No, the Old West is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
As soon as you anger somebody, they're out to kill you.
I would say that I think I am you're finally enjoying it a little bit, but yes. I think I am still digging it a little more than you are.
Probably. Yeah. But the more I played it, the more invested I feel in it.
If I was more of a gamer, I would be spending more time playing it. I've got my limits to sitting there with the controller, but I think over the weekend, Sunday, I didn't do anything. We had a big windstorm and snow, and it was nasty out, and
that's the time to do it.
A good portion of the day was spent on Red Dead.
Yeah, that's the time to do it. I didn't get a chance to ask you, James. The Great Lakes Comic Con was this weekend. You were out there on Friday?
Yeah.
How was your experience?
It was good. I had a good time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't get out there until Saturday, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, we had good old JR, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Right. I was going to say, I actually got a chance to sit down with JR.
Yeah?
And we'll play that at the end of this week's
episode. Oh, that's awesome.
You got to talk to JR.
I got to sit down with JR for 5 minutes. It was fantastic.
That's cool.
It was awesome.
It was absolutely cool. I was kind of starstruck. He was a great interview.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, how did that come up? Did you put in credentials beforehand, or did you meet him and go,
how
like,
many
hey,
bottles
I do a podcast?
Of barbecue sauce did you have to buy from
well,
him?
I did. I saw that somebody else had a video camera and was interviewing and stuff like that. So I went to his handler and I said, hey, you know, I had my riff credentials. I was like, hey, I'm with the Riff. Can I sit down with JR for a couple of minutes? And the guy was like, we're doing Legends of Wrestling in a couple of weeks. So yeah, for sure. Let me talk to JR or something like that. So while I'm sitting there with him, Amy takes a couple pictures of him, and I'll show you guys. I'll put it on our Facebook. Cool. She took a picture, and JR, like, I don't think, because to take a picture with him was like $20. And I was totally willing to pay the $20.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But she took a picture and he like stopped what he was doing. Like, he was talking to me, but I was talking to him when it happened, and he looked dead at her with this stare like, what are you doing? He's got this look on his face like, I will kill you.
Oh, my.
In this picture.
Once it's $20.
Right. And when it was over.
Or three bottles of barbecue sauce.
Right. When it was over, I was like, here's $20 for the picture. I really appreciate it, kind of stuff. But you guys will hear. He's, you know, super cool. I ask him about AEW wrestling, and I ask him a couple of questions about, like, how do you get started? What's his advice? If you wanted to be a wrestling commentator.
Oh, cool. That's something to look forward to. Later on the show.
I need to listen to that. Maybe I should listen to that
last fall before you gave it your shot.
Yeah, before I dealt with Matt Stryker.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, let's hit a song if you're listening to us on the HD 2 station Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Otherwise, we will be right back after this with more Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Wednesday night. Time for Nerd Radio.
My name is Chuck Beast, and I'm here with Nerd Radio at the Great Lakes Comic Con, sitting here with the iconic voice of wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross. It is fantastic to be within proximity to you, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Being the iconic voice of pro wrestling is like being the skinniest kid at fat camp. I think maybe, but nonetheless, I appreciate the kind words.
How have you been, man? I know that you've been doing a little bit of work with, I know you've got your podcast, mm-hmm. The Ross Report, and you've done a little bit of work with Ring of Honor lately.
Oh. I'm busy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm busy. I like being busy. In my stage of life, being busy is a lot more important than just the one or two paydays.
Sure.
I miss that I'm not back on weekly television, but we're working to remedy that. And but life is good. I'm healthy. My granddaughters are healthy. My kids are healthy. I got about as much as a guy could ask for, so I'm fine. I really am.
Now, you've been in the wrestling business for many, many years, so you've seen a lot of the ups and downs. What do you think of what's going on currently with all the talk of All Elite Wrestling coming up in the next year and everything?
Well, All Elite's just going to create another place for people that are in the wrestling business, whether it be announcers or wrestlers or managers or referees or technicians or whatever. More another place to work. So for that, I'm all for it. They've got great ownership. I've never met Mr. Khan, but I've seen his work. He's worth $8 billion.
Sure.
So he must be doing something right.
Yeah.
So I pull for him. I hope they do well. But the bottom line for me is that they create another opportunity for people to have jobs in this genre, which I think is a cool thing. And but for those that think AEW is going to come in and supplant WWE, I want to find out where you're smoking.
For sure. It's definitely one of those things. I think a lot of the fans are just, they're real excited about the opportunity of competition.
Well, we want variety. You want variety. Exactly. It's like this Comic-Con. There's a look at all of, there's a different, a dozen different personalities, dozens of exhibits and people, and it takes all those to make it work.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own thing, and I just think it adds to the variety. I don't think there's ever been a better time to be a wrestling fan. I know guys that are in my age group that are still making a damn good living doing things like this.
Right.
So if the genre wasn't still relevant, then nobody would want to see us.
Cool.
So that's kind of how I look at it.
That's awesome. Well, like I said, it is fantastic to see you here. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Before we take off? Okay, so as a wrestling fan growing up, I was never a very muscular kid. I was kind of a skinny kid. So I was like, I don't think I could do the wrestling thing. But then I'd see the managers. I'm like, well, I could get thrown around. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then you realize as you get older, they're like, wait, there's the guys that talk. Yeah. There's the commentators. If somebody was looking to get a start as a commentator, what would your advice to them be?
Get all the practical experience that you can. Volunteer. If somebody says, you can be my ring announcer if you'll help put up the ring, then jump at it. And don't worry, well, I'm not going to get paid. Well, I'm not going to pay anything. I'm going to give you experience. And so then you have a place to go work and to create a reel, a tape, a demo.
Okay.
And but that's what I saw. And whether it be broadcast, anything, whatever you're on a mic, it ain't got to be wrestling by any stretch of imagination.
Right.
But whatever you're doing, get plenty of reps and practice and create your own reel. And at least you got something for the potential employers to hear. It's practice, experience, and just there's no money at all in it in the beginning.
Right.
That's like podcasting. My podcast drops every Wednesday, and on the Jim Ross Report. And you know, we've been nurturing that for several years, and it's now starting to be viable financially. But it takes time. It takes time. But the bottom line is, an employer in broadcasting is going to want to hear what you sound like or what you look like on a tape. So that's what I would suggest. Practice and opportunity are huge.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And thank you for all the memories, Jim.
You bet, buddy.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for talking to me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't
want to
see it.
All right, it's more Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRIF.com, wherever you get your podcast, on the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. James, me and you are part of a WWE wrestling league.
Yeah, Drop the Belt.
Yeah, over at Drop the Belt with the other two wrestling podcasts in the building, and I thought it would be cool to have one of the guys from one of the other wrestling podcasts on. So we've got Justin here from the SNE Top 3 podcast,
yes,
which is done over at the Bounce Studios.
It is, yeah, down that hallway.
Right. It's fantastic to sit and talk with you, Justin.
I appreciate you guys having me in. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I definitely wanted to have somebody from one of the other shows on because the standings have shifted dramatically.
Well, WWE in general has shifted dramatically, so that makes sense, right?
Right. But when we, like the first couple of weeks leading into Royal Rumble, I remember I felt almost a little bit bad because both James and Erica had like the top spots and I was sucking, but I expected that.
Sure.
But I was like, man, I was the one that reached out to everybody and was like, hey, we should do this wrestling league. And then like, we're just like, they had all the good people.
Yeah.
But holy crap, have things changed. As it stands right now, I got the thing up. You were in third, Justin.
Oh, good job.
Erica still has second place, but Ryan from over at Around the Ropes over at 94.7,
oh,
he's pulled first place.
Number one.
Pretty much based on Finn Balor and Sasha Banks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, two title holders right there. And I've been pushing for Finn Balor to get a title forever.
Oh, yeah. I think we all love Finn Balor.
Yeah, but I don't know how much I like non-demon Finn Balor, but it is what it is. But the guy's talented. And they put a title on him right away. He got hurt. Stuff happens. Mm-hmm. And they've done nothing with him since.
Right.
And I never understood why. Like, this guy is a proven main eventer, yet you have him against Scrubs, Jinder Mahal every week, whatever else. Give him a belt, give him a push, and now we're getting there.
I feel like I'm hanging out with my girlfriend right now.
Oh, yeah?
She's in the same boat as him. With Finn. I'm a Finn Balor fan, too, but I hear the same thing at home.
Yeah. I don't know
what they're doing with Finn.
It made no sense. Well, yeah. I didn't go that far, but Alexa Bliss did this week, but I didn't. I never understood it, though, because the guy, like I said, is a proven entertainer, great in the ring. His character's great when the demon comes out.
But, oh, sure.
And they clearly believed in him because they put a title on him right away. And then, because he got hurt, he's been back for almost 2 years.
Right.
And you've done nothing with him. That made no sense.
He is a small guy. And the rumor for years has been that Vince really loves big guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of faith in small guys, but he loves, just massive. What did he tell Finn a couple of weeks ago? There's a lot of meat in this ring.
Yeah, when he had all the guys behind him and Finn wanted Brock Lesnar.
Right.
I knew
there's a lot of beef. There's a lot of beef in this ring.
When they put him in the ring with Brock Lesnar, I knew he was going to get a push. I didn't think he was going to beat Brock.
Right.
But they put him in that main event on a big four pay-per-view, and now it's almost like a Seth Rollins type move. He's got the Intercontinental title, and that's going to catapult him into the Universal title picture or WWE title if they switch it up.
Right.
That's what they did with Seth. Gave him the IC title, and now he's going for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Now, James, you, like I said, you had like first and second with Erica. You've kind of come down to sixth place rank.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a big part of that is you've got Brock Lesnar, who doesn't show up a whole lot, but when he does show up, he's a title holder. You had a couple of people that aren't really there, but you do have Seth Rollins.
I do have Seth
on your team, which is really cool.
I think injured, so I probably won't even see him wrestle until WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah. I saw you made a couple of trades for like R-Truth and Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, I had to get rid of our. I had somebody who. Oh yeah, John Cena. My boy John Cena. I love you, but I knew once he was out at Royal Rumble, I'm like, maybe he'll make an appearance at WrestleMania at any point. So I kicked him to the curb. I picked up Nia Jax.
Yeah,
because I thought she was gonna mess some stuff up with what's her face, Tamara.
Oh, Tamina, yeah.
Tamina, yeah, with the women's tag team. And who else did I pick up?
Somebody
else. I got rid of Elias.
I'm still playing
R-Truth.
The long game with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. And I've got Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin as well.
Daniel Bryan. He's going to do something every week,
That,
like
that
he's
was
wrestling
my thought.
Every week,
the title holder, he's going to be on TV every week.
Right. But I feel the common theme between those two, though, is the fact that you guys are banking on, like, the big names. And if you realize, when they get to a certain level, they feel like they don't need to be there every week.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar doesn't need to be there every week. Seth Rollins doesn't need to. Daniel Bryan doesn't need to be anything huge every week. AJ Styles, same thing.
Right.
So if you go to a Kofi Kingston or an Elias or any of the NXT guys they just called up, they're trying to build them. So they're going to be doing something extra every single week because we're trying to build their character to get us to care about them. They feel like we already care enough about AJ. He doesn't need to be in a match every week.
That's true. Very true. Now, I'm saying you're in third and your big movers are Ronda Rousey, Braun Strowman, and Leo Rush.
I love Leo, and that's why. I've always loved Leo on the, like, with or without Bobby Lashley, they're going to use him somehow.
Yeah.
That dude is the second best guy on the mic right now behind Paul Heyman in WWE. And there's no more John Cena there every week. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Because of his personality, and he's good in the ring too. If you take time to watch 205 Live, the dude is athletic and he is fun in the ring. Combined with that personality, they're going to use him somehow with or without Bobby Lashley.
Right. Now, how much wrestling do you actually take in a week, Justin? Because it's a lot.
You
got 3 hours of Raw, you got 2 hours of SmackDown, and then you got 205 and you've got NXT, which is on Wednesdays, and those are an extra hour or stuff. Like it sounds like you're a big 205, Mark.
I wouldn't say that, but I keep tabs on it. So I watch Raw and SmackDown every week. I watch all the pay-per-views. When it comes to 205 Live and NXT, I'll keep tabs on it. So I know when they're on, so I'll go to the website the day after and what happened last night. If something crazy happened, I'll watch a highlight.
Right.
It's just a bunch of whatever results. I'll just keep who's the champ, who's going for the title. So I at least know what's going on. But no, I don't take time to watch. There's a reason why they're on the network. And I know that. And I don't. I mean, if I remember, we went to SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
LCA when 205 Live was recorded, everyone dipped out and they had to grab everybody from the upper deck and bring them down below. So it looks like they still got a full arena.
Oh, that's funny. Is this, is that what they did? Because I know
that's what they
did. Even SmackDown, they're like, wrestling's not done. Wrestling's not done. I'm like, morning show. It's bedtime.
Yeah,
exactly.
Time to go to sleep. I don't got time to watch whatever dark matches are happening. Yep. But I didn't realize that they transitioned into 205 Live.
They did
Live.
Because so many people left and they went to 205. We watched the first match of 205 Live, but we watched as they went up to the upper deck, saw that basically everyone up there leave, and all of a sudden they all started crowding down to the lower level because everyone left. So I mean, I keep tabs on it. It's fun to watch. They just need to utilize those guys more on the main shows.
Yeah.
Not many people are watching SmackDown Live on TV and then logging onto the network right after watching that.
Right.
It's just not happening. But when they're on Raw and SmackDown, I love watching 205 Live matches.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of it. It's entertaining. It's fun. But they don't need their own show. They just want more content for the network, and I get it.
Oh, sure.
But they need to be utilized more. If anything, use them on Raw and SmackDown to build up to 205 Live. So people are more invested, because half the people watching wrestling don't know half the roster on 205 Live because they're only on 205 Live.
It's very true. Like, even if when they use the 205 Live guys to, like, kick off a match or to kick off a pay-per-view, I'm like, I don't know who the hell these guys are.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's always a good match. It's always a fun, entertaining match when they kick off a pay-per-view.
I wouldn't know, because I'm like, I don't know these guys, so I'm not watching.
Check
gotta
right
go.
Out.
Let's order the pizza.
Yeah, right.
Let me take my pay-per-view deuce. Gotta go.
No, I get that. So who's picking up Batista? Anybody?
I'm not picking him. No, because
I feel like he's going to wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania, and that's about it. You might see him.
He'll probably be on Raw a couple of times in the next couple of months, something like that. But that was something I definitely want to talk to you guys about. Is Vince McMahon came on TV back in December, and it was like, we're going to give you guys what you want. We're going to think. And obviously, anybody who's super into wrestling knows that All Elite Wrestling is coming by the end of the year, and that's where they're like, okay, maybe we need to try a little harder.
Right, so we don't lose these guys.
We're going to have a little bit of competition now, hopefully.
Have you guys heard some of the rumors about All Elite Wrestling?
Every week there's somebody that's like, hey, maybe this is happening because they want to go to All Elite Wrestling.
Well, my current favorite one right now is that WWE is behind All Elite Wrestling.
I've not heard that.
So they're actually doing all this just to create like
a little bit of competition?
Yeah, so they have their own competition, but now we can have our WWE superstars, like DX would do, go and crash an All Elite event, or All Elite guys are going to come and crash a WWE event.
I would love that.
Yeah.
And me too, I'm like, that would be awesome. I would love that. And I guess that was stemming, I was talking to Chuck the Freak about it.
Yeah.
And, I guess that stemmed from, it could just be rumors, but with Jericho being at like Ric Flair's birthday party.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's taking pictures with Triple H. He's taking pictures of all these people that are higher up in the WWE company. That they think there could be something going on.
Some
it's not just, hey,
well, that
we're
was
buds
the,
or whatever.
Back in the day, that was the thing, is that Vince McMahon had like somewhat helped out ECW when the Monday Night Wars was going on.
Well, when he purchased it in WCW and they had, in 2001, they had the invasion.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best times in wrestling for those who watched it.
I'm happy to hear you say that, because the invasion, while it sucked because they couldn't get any of the big WCW names.
Right.
I loved it.
I loved every bit of it. It would have been cool to see a Sting, a Goldberg involved in that. Triple H was hurt at
Kevin
the time.
Nash,
So between injuries and just not wanting to be involved, but they still pulled it off in a major way.
It was so much fun because you never knew who was going to show up. And
exactly.
The last couple of weeks of WWE have kind of felt like a throwback to that. Exactly. Where it's like
NXT guys
they brought the NXT guys up, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then now they're just a permanent part of the show, and you're like, oh, this is kind of, I wish the NXT guys were invading.
Ding, 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 there it is right there. And that's exactly what we said on our podcast, because we love the four guys they brought up. Johnny Gargano, no offense, I think it's because he's so vanilla compared to the other three.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's kind of been, like,
Johnny
he's
Wrestling,
okay.
or whatever they call him, right?
And it's okay, but compared to the other three, I'm like, yeah, dude, you're down here. But it would have been, they should have done, if you're going to bring these guys up, they have such a unique shtick, every single one of them.
Yep.
They're so great in the ring. They're so intense. These four invading would have been legit, mm-hmm. because they could have pulled it off.
And not to mention how much current people on the roster you have who came from NXT. You get the same thing you did in the invasion, where you had so much ECW talent already in the WWE that when they decided to add them to the invasion, you got that awesome moment.
They went over. And the only thing about the invasion, not to go back way back to 2001, it didn't make sense near the end. They had Kurt Angle go over there. I'm like, why are you going over? You've always been you were Olympics and then you were WWF. What right. are you doing? But okay.
They did not have the faith that, you know, a Booker T and a Diamond Dallas Page at the time could hang with a Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Exactly.
So
I get that. But no, with NXT, they could have pulled off an invasion great. It would have been even better. It would have been even more intense WrestleMania season. You could build up for a big match at WrestleMania, yeah. NXT versus whatever. Like you mentioned, Kevin Owens could go over to them. Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, all these guys
from NXT. All these guys
NXT,
that came from NXT.
And they could face a John Cena and an AJ Styles and all these guys who didn't mess with NXT.
So right.
Another guy that's in Finn Balor category, though, in my opinion, Samoa Joe. And he could go over to NXT and be a part of that invasion. But he's another one that, what else does he need to do to put a damn title on him?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. He's already harassed AJ Styles' wife, you know?
Right. Right. But he's great on the mic. He's intense. He's great in the ring. Like when he came out before the Elimination Chamber and put everybody else in the chamber to shame, I'm like, he needs to win it.
Yeah.
He came out, went one by one, Daniel Bryan, this, AJ, how's Wendy doing? And go on and so on. I'm like, there it is, right there. Give him the title. And they never did. He was the first one eliminated. I don't get it.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Justin.
Yeah.
If you guys enjoy what you hear in here, you can check out SNE Top 3 over at the Bounce's website.
Yep.
Give the address out.
Let's go 1051thebounce.com. It's under the podcast tab, iTunes. We're on Spotify, Beepod Studios,
yep.
Google Play. Download, subscribe. Social media at SE Top 3 Podcast.
Podcast Absolutely. Hype man right there.
There
Look
it
at
is.
That.
And we're looking forward to kicking your ass in this fantasy
league. Third place. Keep in mind where I was.
I'm going to probably just hang out in the toilet bowl.
Yeah.
Swimming with the turds.
You got to talk some smack, man. You got to heal it up.
Oh, man. I don't know. I always make fun of the dudes that are like totally trash talking fantasy sports. Like it's fantasy sports.
Yeah,
you've guessed the correct wrestler. Congratulations.
Hey, I'll take whatever credit I can get.
There you
oh,
go.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I'm not trying to devalue your position.
Exactly what
I'm
he's
just
doing
saying.
Here.
No, I'm not trying to devalue
his
where you
of
are.
That was heel mode. That was heel mode.
That was me just saying, here's why I don't talk trash
right.
for fantasy sports. They're fantasy sports.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, Thank nerds. You.
Hey, we're out.
Well, I've had a few people reach out to me that they've checked it out. So
that's good.
Keep building on that.
Yeah, excellent.
People from Boston, too. Like a dude on Xbox sent me a message.
Awesome.
Like, hey, listening to you. Well, I'm Dave and Chuck. It's like in the Nerd Radio podcast.
Right.
And he's like, want to play some game? I'm like, I'm not playing the game.
I'm not playing games
with the Jigsaw.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
Jigsaw waiting for you in Boston.
You want to play some games?
When's the next time you guys are coming to visit in Boston?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, yeah. Boy. Hey, I appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
But
stay up. Away from me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.